From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Hello, Archbishop.
Pat, hello to you and to all those who are joining us in the broadcast, and to our special guest, which you will introduce in a moment.
I will. Before we do that, would you lead us in a prayer, Archbishop?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that you call us to be your sons and daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters to one another, and gather us together to be your family, the church. Help us always to stay close to you and faithful members of your family as we offer our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
So we do have a special person, hardly a guest, though. I mean, he's co-hosted the show with us a few times. We have the editor of the Catholic Week, Mr. Rob Herbst. Rob, thanks for being here.
Pat, Archbishop, good to be with you all here.
It is good to be with you, and thank you for all that you do with the Catholic Week. Just mention that the Catholic Week is mailed out to every registered Catholic in the Archdiocese and every registered household. It is free, and it is a wonderful publication. You and everyone at the Catholic Week, y'all do a great job in covering a lot of local Catholic news as well as national, international news. So thank you. How many households receive it?
It's about 22,000 households throughout the Archdiocese, and then we have some that subscribe to the paper that are outside the diocese that maybe used to live in the Archdiocese of Mobile that still want to keep in touch. So yeah, about 22,000.
It really is a ministry because in our Archdiocese we cover half of the state of Alabama, and so this is a way for the family of God in the Archdiocese Mobile to stay in contact with each other. So if any Catholic is not receiving the Catholic Week, please send in your name, contact either by email or by phone the Catholic Week. We'd love to send the Catholic Week to you. It's free of charge.
Absolutely.
And I'm really shocked in this age of digital media at how it's not just circulated. We don't just send it out. I routinely have people, when I'm in a parish, come up and tell me they like reading the article, they like the Catholic Week, they recognize me from the picture when I first started working here. So it's not just getting sent out, it's being consumed, it's being looked at, it's being engaged with. So
it's the only place where people are going to get this information. You know, so, and by the way, it is also available online.
Yep.
And
go to mobarch.org. You can find our stories there. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/mobilearchdiocese, Instagram as well at mobilearchdiocese, and twitter.com/thecatholicweek, and you can follow us. So multiple ways to get that information that we provide in the Catholic Week.
You know, Archbishop, you mentioned that the Catholic Week covers news local, national, and international, and that's nice little segue into what we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, Pat, you're smooth.
I tell you. Veteran move right
so
there.
So what did you want to bring up, Pat?
So some of our listeners might have heard that there's some sort of synod coming, that Pope Francis is calling for a synod, and the process of that is beginning kind of imminently at the local level.
Pope Francis has called for a synod on synodality. We'll get into that for a moment. But Pat, first, synod is an unfamiliar word. What does synod mean?
Well, I was challenged before we came on air because I knew kind of what it was, but not in its origins. So its origins, the word synod comes from to meet together, to walk together. So synod is kind of journeying together.
It's a word pretty much only used in church circles, and that's exactly what it means, Pat. Great work in looking that up. It means to walk together, and a synod that the Holy Father is calling is for representatives of the church from throughout the world to gather in Rome to have a synod. Periodically, synods are held. This one, though, is a synod on synodality. It's a walking together to discuss how do we walk together. And so it's a way of asking, how do we conduct conversation in the church? How do we consider issues? How do we make decisions? Are people truly involved in this? You know, it's very easy to become an echo chamber, but we only talk to people who are like us, and guess what? They agree with us, and so everyone must agree with us. No, I mean, that's an echo chamber. How do we involve a broad-based discussion for any topic? And so that's what a synod on synodality is, a synod on synods, a meeting on meetings, you know. And so the Holy Father has asked every diocese to consider this issue, to send that information into the national group of bishops, where it will be compiled, and then it will be brought to the international meeting, which will be in 2 years. So it's a two-year process of building up to the synod. It's a local, and then it'll be national. In some cases after that, it'll be a continental meeting, and then meeting in Rome.
And if I could offer one little tidbit of how to approach when the Holy Father comes out with some statements or with a plan to do something or to reform something, we have a great tendency to forget that there are 1 billion plus Catholics in the world, all over the world, Central America, Africa, Asia, North America, South America. And the fact that the Holy Father is asking us to focus on this doesn't mean that he sees a problem with the church in the United States. And the same would be true. You know, I remember a few years ago, Archbishop, the Vatican came out with some requesting updating or reform of the marriage tribunal. Well, as I read that document, I was thinking, I think the Pope is trying to make it like the one in America. But I know people who worked in the tribunal were concerned that they were doing something wrong.
It's just natural. If we hear the Pope is saying something, we think about it from our context, from our experience, from our reality. And the Pope is not necessarily thinking about, well, how is this being done in Alabama or in the United States of America? This is being sent out to Catholics in Paraguay and in India and in South Africa and in the Philippines. And, you know, there's different experiences, different pastoral church realities in different parts of the world. So the Pope is not focusing in on one area, one place, or one country. He's asking the whole church to look at, in your situation, is everyone's voice welcomed in considering issues that the church is facing? When in the leadership, does the leadership really seek to seek out the voices of many people in considering things and in making decisions?
Yeah, just in generally speaking, you know, the diocese in the United States are roughly the same structure, similar structure, correct? Speaking in broad terms, how different are things when you go to other parts of the globe?
It may be very different, you know, because of the social customs or of the political systems. You know, here in this country, bishops follow the church law about having consultative groups. In some areas, that would be very difficult to do because of the political realities that are being faced. In our, you know, in a typical diocese, let me just take the Archdiocese of Mobile. The Archbishop Mobile has a number of consultative groups that he is sometimes required by church law to discuss issues with, and sometimes even needs their approval. But there's a, first of all, something called a presbyteral council, a priest council, made up of priest from the archdiocese. There is a finance council made up of business people, men and women, who have business experience, the finance council. There's a smaller group of priests called the College of Consultors, which the archbishop must consult with for major issues facing the archdiocese. And then there are other groups, too, that bishops may choose to have. Now, in our reality, you know, on our finance council, we have men and women. Women are very much involved in the leadership of the church here in our archdiocese and in our parishes. That may not be true everywhere because of social customs. And the Holy Father is asking, is everyone being involved in the church? Well, that may be different in different places.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensberg here with Archbishop Rohde, and we're just delighted to be joined by Robert Herbst of the Catholic Week fame. And we're talking about the synod that the Holy Father is calling, which the process begins now. You know, it seems, Archbishop, in so many ways, the Pope is kind of trying to make the church more like it is in the United States. That's my read on it. But I'd kind of like to go back to some of the things you were saying, Archbishop. Those are really fascinating. So the College of Consultors versus the Presbyteral Council. What issues would go to the consultors that wouldn't go to the Presbyteral Council?
Well, the Presbyteral Council would consider the pastoral issues of church life in the archdiocese. So if it has to do with about the celebration of sacraments let's discuss how we're preparing couples for marriage or how our religion education programs are going, whatever, pastoral issues. For the consultors, it would be more important issues of should we open a new parish? Should we build a new church? When it becomes, should we sell this piece of property? There are more important matters of the archdiocese that tend to be more administrative, but that's different than let's talk about the pastoral life, the parish life of our archdiocese. So the more pastoral issues go to the Presbyteral Council, but the more important issues that are going to deal with the finances of the archdiocese or long-term planning, that would go to the College of Consultors.
And how is it decided who is on the Presbyteral Council and the College of Consultors?
The Presbyteral Council, most of the Presbyteral Council are elected by the priest, and the consultors are appointed by the archbishop.
So, Rob, one of the things the archbishop was talking about, the different advisory boards that he has, one thing he didn't mention that I think shows a great diversity is just the people who are employed by the Archdiocese of Mobile and what their particular authorities and responsibilities are.
No doubt about it. You know, when you look at the Executive Director of Catholic Education, Ms. Gwen Bird has been there for, 40 plus years, I guess, now. The Executive Director of the Finances, Ms. Michelle Manry. Executive Director of Catholic Social Services, Ms. Marilyn King. So majority of women are in the executive positions here in the Archdiocese.
And so that's, well, just, you know, just trying to make the point that the request for the Synod, again, isn't reflecting that there's something wrong in the Church of the United mm-hmm. States. In fact, I think in many ways this is an example. But there's always room for improvement, Archbishop. And I'll just give you one little example. So we're putting onto the website the questionnaire for people to answer questions about how we're doing with making sure all voices are included. And I was meeting with Rob yesterday or the day before, and in the course of that conversation, he pointed out, you know, we need to get these translated into Spanish to put up on the website. So it's very easy. So while we're doing things well, I think in a lot of ways, there's always somebody that it's good to be mindful. Who are we missing? Who are we not including?
That's a very good point, because as broad based as our as we may feel the church is being in considering issues and making decisions, we can easily overlook voices that need to be heard. Now, we are in a diverse church today. In our archdiocese, Mass is regularly celebrated in 7 different languages. Well, that may seem like, whoa, we have diversity here. Well, my understanding in the Archdiocese of Miami, Mass is regularly scheduled in 40 different languages or dialect. In Los Angeles, 60 different languages and dialects. So how is it that a broad-based consultation is being conducted when decisions are being made? That's an easier question, but still it can be a complicated question in the Archdiocese of Mobile. But when we become, when we consider a diocese with millions of Catholics, and very diverse, how do we gather all the voices of the church? So there's many different layers to this. And we've sent out here in our archdiocese a list of questions to each of the parishes, to each of the pastors. And each pastor is requested to discuss these questions with his parishioners in whatever way he wishes to do that. And then to send in the responses from his parish. But we've also put these questions on the website of the Archdiocese so that anyone who wants to can just go online and give their input, which will be considered. And so, Rob, I mean, you're making sure that this is getting out to the people of the Archdiocese. And then, Pat, when these responses come in, you and the people in your office are going to be compiling them. So why don't you all talk about the publicity and the process?
Well, first of all, yeah, in the recent edition of the Catholic Week, you can read all about the Synod and the process for coming up with how are we going to get answers from everybody in the Archdiocese of Mobile. You can check out those questions at mobarch.org on yourself, as well as hearing it from your pastor at your parish. But please go answer the questions at mobarch.org. I believe, there are 8 questions, Pat?
There are 8 questions, and it's a Google form, so you'll just be able to fill it out online, hit submit, and then we have those. You can also, you could print them off if you're more comfortable doing that and mail them in. And Ms. Janet Masline, who's the associate director in my office, she and I will take and try to summarize faithfully the comments that are coming in from folks and hand those in a report form to Archbishop Rohde. And he will then send those to, I guess, is it the USCCB officially?
Sends it up to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops office in Washington, where they will compile. And then I believe that there will be a joint meeting of the Episcopal Conferences of North America to also consider it. And all this then will go to the Vatican.
And this is expected to wrap up
in 2 years. It's a 2-year process.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ernsberg, Rob Herbst here with Archbishop Rohde. And just go on the record, Archbishop, if there needs to be a representative from the Archdiocese of Mobile who goes to Rome when they consider all of the input,
thank you for your input, Pat.
You're welcome.
It's valued. But in my lifetime, I have seen a broadening of the ways in which many different voices are being involved in decision-making in the church. At the same time, there's always room for improvement. But, you know, I'll give an example. I mean, when I was a seminarian, I remember in the archdiocese where I was studying, every office, every diocesan office was headed by a priest, except for one, Catholic Social Services. But every office, a priest was in charge, whether that was in finance or development or the newspaper or family life or permanent diaconate or youth ministry or religious education or building office. I mean, go through the list. Every office in the Archdiocese, a priest was there in that office as the director, except for Catholic Social Services, and that was a nun. The idea of lay people directing an office of a diocese would have just been unthinkable. It would have been unthinkable at that time for a lay person to be the principal of a Catholic school. Only a priest or brother or sister could be the principal of a Catholic school. Here in our Archdiocese of Mobile, it wasn't until 1974 that the first lay person was appointed principal of a Catholic school. You know, so it was very much decisions were made by the clergy and secondarily by the religious. In parishes, there were no parish finance councils. There were no parish pastoral councils. The pastor was the one to make decisions. Well, so much has changed over the past 40 years, and now it's sort of rare in a diocese that a layperson isn't in charge of an office. I'm here with the two of you all. Rob, you're the editor of the paper. And Pat, you're the head of the Office of Evangelization Family Life. Lay people are in charge of so many of the ministries of the church. And I would say, too, although the two of you all are men, and most of our offices are directed by women. I have another council that advises me. I didn't mention this earlier because it's not required by church law. It's something that I've set up. It's all, something called administrative council, the head of each department. But the head of Catholic education department is a woman. The head of the finance department is a woman. The head of legal services is a woman. The head of development is a woman. The head of Catholic social services is a woman. When I sit down with the administrative council, almost everyone there at that table is a woman, you know, as we make decisions about the administration of the archdiocese, about our central ministries. And in parishes, pastors have a parish pastoral council and a parish finance council, which are also to be diverse in their membership. So a lot of voices should be heard in the church, and I find increasingly are, but the Pope is asking, how further should we go? You know, how can we do this? We're not going to turn the church into a democracy. Jesus didn't set it up that way. But as we need to be walking down the road together and sharing wisdom and advice with one another.
And it would be so easy not to recognize that somebody's missing from the table. So in other words, if I'm sitting around the table and every chair is filled, everybody's here. Well, the people who don't have a voice at the table don't have a voice to say, I don't have a voice at the table. So there has to be some intentionality on the part of those people at the table to ask ourselves, wait, who's missing? Who is not being represented here? So I'm very grateful for Pope Francis introducing this synod on synodality, because I think it's important.
And we look at Rob, and Rob is agreeing, but
he's nodding. That doesn't work on radio, Rob.
Yes. But you know, and that's a very good point, and that's hopefully what this synod will help to uncover. What voices are not being heard? And so we're hoping that people will speak up in their parishes and go online and answer the questions. You know, we are in a diverse church, and it's not just also the people who are in the church on Sunday whose opinion we want. We want the people who are not in church.
Amen.
you know, we value that voice, those voices too, because very much we would want to know, well, why are you not in church? If you're part of the family of God, if you're a Catholic, but you're choosing not to come, well, we want to hear your voice. And why? And why? Do you feel alienated from the church and how decisions are made? We want as many voices as possible to speak up. That's what the Pope is asking, to have this synod on synodality, this basically a meeting on meetings. You know, how do we come together as a church, both at the Vatican but also throughout the world? How do we approach the life of the church?
What a great challenge, though, because how many Catholics are there worldwide?
About 1.2 billion.
1.2 billion. So to get everybody at the table out of 1.2 billion.
Yeah, it's a lot of folks. But I think it's important for evangelization. I mean, because there are people who are not Catholic. There are people who are rejecting the gospel. And why are they rejecting it? Well, it'd be helpful to know as we try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we're called to do.
And you know, this is, if you look, read the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible, the early church had the same problem. That in the church, we read that the Christians who spoke Greek felt that their voices were not being heard, only the Christians who spoke Aramaic. And the apostles had to address that. How do we involve everyone? Now, that's in the first days of the church. It continues. How do we involve everyone?
Well, that's a wrap for us. Archbishop, can you give us a blessing before we close?
And may the blessing of God be upon you and your loved ones in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.